Mistakes of My Youth on K-Chung 1630 AM in Los Angeles and kchungradio.org worldwide. I'm your host, Susanna Tontensoff. I am here with my guest, Stuart James Steidel. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a Bangkok edition, slightly pre-recorded, but not too much, and still in K-Chung style. Stuart is a photographer and conservationist, splitting his time in the moment between Northern California and the Far East.
Yes. One personality somewhere, one personality elsewhere, and I'm yet to find the others.
And just briefly, you're doing a very interesting photography project across from Thailand, Myanmar, and India.
Yeah, Northeast India. Just dipping my toes in there again. Essentially trying to follow this upcoming highway that's connecting the three countries and has been on the docket for as a like mega development project for some time, with India's Look East policy, which they kind of drafted at the in the midst of a lot of globalization craze and trying to catch up with China's breakneck pace of influence and penetration in the region. So yeah, it's interesting to see how that will shake out in the future with issues around the border and all sorts of things. Yeah, it's funny. Right now, it's I don't know where it's going. I'm starting in Bangkok and just heading north and seeing what comes my way in front of the camera.
Yeah, we have you at the beginning. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. And back to your youth.
Mm.
That was the Counting Crows, Mr. Jones.
And me.
Uh-huh. and tell me about that song. Why did you choose it?
Oh, gosh. Well, this is going to be a bit of a theme maybe for the first half of the show, but essentially that song emanates from an early childhood memory from tape decks in my parents' cars and tapes that were just like floating around, and I don't even recall if this was a mix or the album, but yeah, I actually sang this at a karaoke session in Southern Oregon a while back, and before I get on stage I said this goes out to the LeBaron. So that tells you, you know, what we were doing driving around. It's basically moving with one parent or the other back and forth from Eugene to the Oregon coast. And, yeah, I can still see the interior of that car a bit and hear this.
What color?
It was like a maroon.
Oh,
I don't know
nice.
If you could say oxblood.
You could say oxblood.
I think Pontiac mainly had oxblood. Mm. I don't know if Chrysler was that cool, but... Mm. Yeah, I remember being in the car with my brother and him bumping that, and yeah, so that's a fond memory, and it's a great song to sing. I love singing that song.
It is. We sang to it.
Yeah.
We just sang to it. And so tell me about the next song that you have on deck.
Okay. The next song that we have coming up also emerges from childhood memories of tapes and... Mm. Basically being imprinted by my parents' tastes. And I think it was the first song it's the first song I can recall asking my mom what that song was.
Mm.
And the song that we'll listen to is Del Shannon's Runaway.
Mm.
And
it's such a good song.
It's such a good song. I have always loved this song, but it took some time for me to realize it's my favorite song of all time.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Now, besides living in Oregon or being from Oregon, I also spent time in the Ozarks in Arkansas for like junior high and high school, and have a lot of fond memories and great friends there. We'll hear some music from there later, but there are two good friends of mine back then, Angelica Cruz and Vanessa Castaneda, and they were real... encyclopedias of music and loved all sorts of stuff, punk and doo-wop and all sorts of things. But they had once said, you know, oh, my favorite song, they were kind of twins in a way. They said Del Shannon's Runaway is my favorite song of all time. And it dawned on me that that's my favorite song of all time. Now,
it's very complex in feeling and tone and depth, I believe.
Yeah, it is.
Whoa! And here we go, the K-Chung moment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's Del Shannon, Runaway.
I wonder what went wrong with our love, the love that was so strong. Things we've done together while our hearts were young. wishing you were here by me to end this misery.
And we're back. That was the Rolling Stones.
Yeehaw!
from Some Girls, the album?
Yeah.
Far Away Eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, very far away. I remember going out to this, like, concrete yard as my first photography experiment with a friend of mine.
How old were you?
This had to be, I think, sophomore year of high school.
Mm.
And,
in Arkansas.
And so, I mean, I heard this song much earlier in my mm-hmm. life, as you're about to find out by the next horrible song that is obviously from not high school. In Arkansas in high school, I finally got into taking photography classes. My brother had been trying to get me into photography for a minute. Mm. And I had this friend, she lives in New Orleans now, and her name is Ryan Mitchell. And anyway, we went out to go do a little modeling shoot. And I remember, we had a great day. It was beautiful out, and we dorked around, and there was a moment where, you know, we had different props and a few outfits and stuff, and I said, you know that song Far Away Eyes by the Stones? Give me that look, basically. And she nailed it, and it was just, I'll never forget that. It was kind of ridiculous.
That's like her Blue Steel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Far Away Eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. I remember being so somewhat innocent. Like, we had a cigarette as a prop, and I had bought a pack of cigarettes, and I had them in a drawer, and I had a note to my mom in case she found them. I was like, you know, it's just for photography, because sex sells. No, that's not what I said. But, we have a fucked up visual culture. Anyway, that was a obscure song of the mm-hmm. or that is a song of the Stones that's kind of obscure, a lot of mm-hmm. people want to know, and I like that about the Stones, because
they are
vast, their discography, yeah. and mm-hmm. all their songs, and I love finding a new song every mm-hmm. once in a while as you churn through, like, the old records or B-sides, or somehow it comes
out. I love the Black and Blue, you know, that album.
I haven't really listened to that.
Oh, it's so good. If you like that, you will love
really?
It. Yes,
okay.
yes. I highly recommend it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm a little, I should get it done now, because who knows if I would get in trouble this summer listening to the Stones. I'll be river raft guiding for a dude ranch run by Mormons. And I remember in high school, there was a moment that, going back, and let me jump the pages of time real quick. So in high school, at another point, junior high rather, I was hanging out with a friend, Cameron Smith, and his parents lived out in the suburbs. His dad was like a franchisor of mm. Sonic. And
the burger.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
I liked their chili cheese dogs at the time. But they're really a drink place.
Mm.
You know, you don't want to get the food there. You probably don't want to get the drinks either.
Milkshakes.
Yeah,
right?
Milkshakes,
yeah.
Ices, and who knows what else.
Yeah.
I was hanging out in Cameron's house, where they have a pool and stuff. Of mm-hmm. course, it's fun to go over there. And we were heading out somewhere. His dad was giving us a ride. Maybe we were going to go play basketball with some people or something. And he said, what do you guys want to listen to? Do you have some music preferences mm-hmm. or something? Because at that time, you know, I had CDs in my backpack. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, I've got a Rolling Stones CD. And he said, that's the devil's music. And that shut down. That
wow.
caught in my hand. Yeah, I was like, okay, what a flop. Interesting.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, the devil's music. Mm.
But my good friends from Arkansas and I, we
have sympathy.
We had a lot of sympathy for
yeah.
the devil. Uh-huh. Our feet were bruised and battered, dancing to all sorts of devilish music.
Well, speaking of devilish music, I see what's on deck next.
Uh-huh.
We're taking a little bit of a turn in style.
Well, they say spice is the variety of life, don't they?
It is.
And so let's remind folks, we're still in my early youth years. You know, that
yeah.
was the Faraway Eyes was from a tape, of course.
Okay, don't get too anxious about playing it. We want to talk about it first. So,
oh, yeah. Okay, so... yeah, basically we're going to listen to the Spice Girls.
Woohoo!
Yeah, if you wanna be my, I guess the song is called Wannabe, rather.
If you wanna be my lover, though, yeah, that's like the refrain. And why? Why are they? Why did they make it on here?
Does Tell this us have more. To be part of the show, Susanna? Yes, does it really?
This is the part of the show. This is the main part.
Well, I don't know when this ended. Hopefully sooner than later. But when I was a little boy, the Spice Girls were my favorite band.
That's amazing.
So we're moving from one favorite band to the next. The Stones are basically my favorite band. But
that's so cute.
The Spice Girls. And I remember being... and I think we're switching mediums, too, from tapes to TV. I think I was attracted to them because they were, like, a commodity on TV.
They were a big commodity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they were pretty, too.
Yeah. And well, and there's something for everyone. You have, like, all the varieties.
All the archetypes of women,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, the 90s were beautiful.
Yeah.
No, I recall digging them. I don't know. Like, I think it's just, you could see a little guy jumping around, you want to be my lover? And then getting Spice World and watching that movie.
I've never seen it. How is it?
I'm sure it's great. I mean, like, women partying, doing their thing on stage, like, flaunting it and being badasses, I guess. I don't know. I will say I cry. I don't know if I cried, but I was... Maybe I cried when Ginger Spice left the band. I was really distraught.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was also very distraught when my brother told me, he's 11 years older, and he told me he doesn't like the Spice Girls. I was really confused.
Well, it's a shout out to...
Yo, Chris!
Yeah.
We gotta talk about something!
Some brotherly love.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, let's hit it.
All right.
It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication.
Before we delve into this song, you had one more sort of Spice Girls moment.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention, you know, I felt like it was proper to throw that in because on one hand, I really love female vocalists. Mm-hmm. You know, I dig doo-wop a lot, the Shirelles and all sorts of stuff. But also, I listen to the Spice Girls more than... Well, I talked about them already, but one thing is that my first concert that I went mm-hmm. to was Avril Lavigne.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's just sort of like, you know, by listening to them, I can vicariously tell you about that other embarrassing fact. Yeah. So.
Skater boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a little skater boy, indeed.
With an eight, skate, right? Spell it with an eight, right? And okay. Boy with an I. Something like that. Yeah. See, I know.
Okay.
So, back to Californication by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. That's sort of a turning point, let's say. Although the next song might defeat what I've just said, but anyway, I remember this coming out. It's just at the tail end of the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And 1999.
Y2K.
Exactly. That was on the horizon. As you can tell by the album artistry, things were starting to brew. I mean, you've got a blue ocean sky and a furious red swimming pool. Things began topsy-turvy at that time. But yeah, I remember that thing coming out and it had a lot of fanfare because it's getting a lot of good press. TRL was definitely getting a lot of requests live for that show. I mean, for that song. And I got that album, and I know I can sing every song on that album. And I remember, like, walking home, and I remember studying the lyrics of every song, and I could just recite Californication. It was, like, the first song I memorized. And, the Chili Peppers are one of my favorite bands. And Californication, the song itself, is not necessarily a song I like that much anymore, but that album was really great, and it led me down another rabbit hole to discover older songs of theirs and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, well, and even what we were saying off air, I was saying to you, the lyrics to the song, from living a while in L.A., I understand the lyrics more and what that actually means, and it's quite cool. I hadn't heard that song in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you feel like you can see a cynical side to the lyrics?
I can see a cynical side to the lyrics, but also just a factual side.
Sure.
Like what the commodifying California and what that means to people. Like, is it something about a Swedish girl dreaming of
right.
And I get that, and people, that's the mentality because of Hollywood. Like, what?
Bingo.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop my Proust quote right now.
All
right. Okay, so, favorite Proust quote, the only paradise is paradise lost.
Nice.
Yeah.
And tell me.
Short and sweet.
Tell me why you chose that.
Well, I'm
it's
a
very
Buddhist,
hard to get so. Get a short Proust quote. So.
I'm so glad I found out. Even more, a good place to fit it in. Now, as you said, California's commodified and sold, the image of it is sold and the idea of it, and it's the idea of a paradise, perhaps. It's such a recognizable place that I can mention it to people in Thailand. Like,
people love it.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, Hollywood.
They get very excited.
Exactly, yeah. And I try to temper that excitement. I try to temper any excitement about California and the rest of the USA because there's too much propaganda about it around the world.
Of course.
In varying degrees, funnily enough. But I won't go down that hole. But so paradise itself is never real. I mean, nothing is ever perfect. And to me, when I read that quote, it resonated with me because once you shed the idea of something you're super attached to, which is often not even the thing itself, but the idealized expression of it in your mind, then you gain clarity and so much more freedom from being attached to that. I mean, once you, then that's kind of paradise. That's like a whole breath of fresh air and the winds in your sails to maybe, like, you know, you peel back a layer of the onion and you self-actualize. And I thought that was a very profound nugget of his.
And to be surprised by life itself.
Yeah.
That things that happen sometimes are much better than I could have ever imagined. Sometimes not.
Yeah.
But sometimes yes, and that's by letting go of that sort of I think youthful naivete in a way of like, oh, the world is supposed to be a certain way when the world just is.
Right. Yeah. And also, what about this is dawning on me now. I mean, Paradise Lost. If you flip it around, or if you anyway, it could be, it fits in with the theme of nostalgia for the show, like. The paradise that you lost, like your youth that you loved, is paradise, and you look back on it nostalgically. And because nostalgia for me is so fun.
Yeah.
I love the feeling.
And music is one of the fastest ways to go there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It is fun, and it's also easy to idealize what already has passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we forget the bad and just concentrate on the good.
The brain is wired to forget. That's its whole purpose. Yeah, which is fascinating.
It is fascinating
about that.
Aside from some certain traumas.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not even the mind that's remembering that. Perhaps
it's just imprinted on us.
Yeah, the body keeps the score.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of.
Keeping score.
Keeping score and lost paradises. Let's play a little bit of Limp Bizkit.
Oh my. And tell us why.
Oh yeah, I've got to present this.
Why did they make the list of your charming mistakes?
the song
is called Hot Dog. This is amazing. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's the year of the dog.
The year of the earth dog.
The year of the earth dog. I'm bringing it back down to earth.
Yeah.
And who is more of a charming mistake than Fred Durst?
Yeah. Wow.
No, I mean, mentioning his name and thinking about him is like opening up an Egyptian crypt of memory. Like, oh my God, Fred Durst exists. Holy shit.
I'd forgotten. Completely.
Totally.
What is he doing today?
I don't know.
Is he at a restaurant?
I doubt it.
I can imagine
he's probably
eating
a hot dog
or having a chili dog restaurant, like a stand.
I guess, yeah, maybe. Like making his mom run it or something while he's like high on OxyContin in the pool or something. I don't know. This guy, he's just, he's a whack job and, like, a punk ass.
Where is he from?
Maybe Ohio?
I don't know.
I remember during the days of TRL, Fred Durst and Carson Daly.
Yeah, oh, man, yeah, you're taking me back.
Oh, yeah. That's just, like, the tip of the pantheon, you know, of celebrity fandom of the 90s. they were even characters on MTV's, what was that, Claymation? Celebrity Deathmatch.
Oh, I forgot about that show, too.
That was such a good show. I also just gotta say, I mean, I feel like speaking of minds forgetting people, mm-hmm. I mean, he is, like, a superlative in that category. Like, everyone forgets about him. And this is going off topic a little bit, but one of my best friends and I in college, we used to get out all of our stress when we drove home by, like, blasting a lot of Bruce Springsteen. And we would sing him. Like, we would maybe didn't even know the words. We were just, like, yelling. And one time I mimicked a line from it's either Dancing in the Dark or I'm Going Down, and it's, I want to change my clothes, my hair, my face.
Yeah.
And I kind of barked it, and I was like, I want to change. Because like, maybe I said, hypothetically, what if you had, like, a death metal Bruce Springsteen? I want to change my clothes, my hair, my face. And I was like, that sounded like Fred Durst. And my friend Ari laughed. He lost it. He said, you know, I haven't thought of Fred Durst in years and years. So, yeah. Maybe you'll never forget him when you eat a hot dog.
Break it down. Yeah. Or now, like, Dance in the Dark is a different...
Dance in the Dark? Down in Dark Memories?
Not Dance in the Dark. Dancing in the Dark. Yeah. Different thing. I'll think of Fred Durst now when I hear that song. and maybe all of you will too. So let's hit it with some Hot Dog by Limp Bizkit.
Cool. Here's an indictment for the world for y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water. Get the fuck up!
Typical world.
Yeah.
So tell us. We learned a few things, and you played two songs I'd never heard before in my life.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm glad you got to hear some new music.
I did. Yeah. Yes. So tell us.
Spank rock is pretty bumping.
They're pretty good. So tell us about the song.
Well, it's typical.
It's typical.
Oh. Anyway, no. This song, Bump, is off of a album Yo 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 Yo. I think is the number of yos in it.
Yeah, there are a lot of yos.
Yeah, and it's just all around fun and awesome, and God, like, it's well produced and it's different than
nice instrumentation.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I dig that.
They're from Baltimore. It says.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just, as we were reading about him, turns out Spank Rock is one rapper, but I was having a weird mismemory moment. I was wondering if I was crazy because I saw them once and I swear it was two people and they had Amanda Black on stage. But as I read this, it turns out that Yo 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 was done by Spank Rock or Naeem Juwan and a former group member Alex Epton. And they both continue to collaborate. So it was must. I was wondering, like, if way back when I saw him or them, I was seeing double. But no, I was seeing double. And was I? No.
He might have had people performing with on stage. Like, he might. Yeah, sometimes people create by themselves, but they have people they perform with.
No, it was.
Or you were seeing double.
No, it was. I mean, it was. It had to have been Naeem and Alex together with Amanda. And I'll get to that in a second. But I first heard Spank Rock in friends' cars in Fayetteville, Arkansas, driving around, especially my friend Justine's car. And we would be driving all over the place. And I didn't have a license for a long time. And I had this close-knit crew of people. And I either rode my bike everywhere, skateboarded, walked, or got rides. And Justine loved to drive. And she loved to blast music. And gosh, it's just like, yeah, it's funny
to take you back to that car.
It does. It's fun, and it takes me back to Charming Mistakes.
Yeah,
like driving around,
being
recklessly,
a teenager.
Through the hills and the Ozarks, and in like out into the boonies and into this sort of. Now it's like a phantasmagoria, all the memory and nostalgia of it, but some of these outlying areas outside town where some of my friends were from are sort of ghost towns now.
Yeah.
You know, rural America disappearing in a way. And, we used to have really great parties all over the place. And so I loved Spank Rock. I never really got my hands on their CD or downloaded them very much, like so much other music from friends. I just soaked it up when I was around them. And then I happened to see them by a definite surprise my freshman year in college.
In Oregon.
Yeah. I went to Reed College in Portland. And at the end of the year, there's a three-day festival on campus, affectionately known as Ren Fair.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know it.
It's
a crazy one.
It's a hoot.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Crazier than it sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it started out as a Renaissance fair. I should know this, maybe in the 80s or 90s, in early 90s or something, but it's at some point in its life, it took on, it basically kept the same freewheeling spirit and that format, but on top of that, all the students decided we're going to make it a different theme each year. And there are things such as like Dr. Seuss or Outer Limits. I always wanted there to be one Wolves. Just as like kind of a funny joke. It would be so fun. You'd howl for your wolf pack. You know who you are.
You like to howl.
I love howling.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I got some friends who love to howl. Anyway, my freshman year at Ren Fair was Gold Rush, which is such a fucking badass theme.
Wow.
And what happens is after Partying Your Ass Off Friday, where the seniors burn all their drafts of their theses in front of the library, and everyone's making out with each other, being showered with champagne, and teachers and staff are blowing rose petals out of cannons on top of from the rooftop of the library over all this madness down below. You party on, and there's drumming and drum corps. I've been in drum corps before. And then Saturday, all this stuff happens, and it's a really psychedelic day. And by the end of the night, there's basically a trifecta of amazingness, where you have the greatest fireworks show on Earth, and then you have glow opera, which is relevant to the theme, and it's something that students put so much time and effort into for weeks. And you have these LED light up suits, and you see this performance in the dark, and people appear out of nowhere because they turn on their LED suits, and it's this really cool experience. And then by the time midnight rolls around, everyone is filtering over to the student union, and there's a headlining act.
And
Spank Rock was there. And
so,
I remember
that was like a boom.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what? Because all the walls were lined with like huge sheets of gold tinfoil or metallic gold.
Wow, how cool for you.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Yeah, especially on a heightened state of consciousness. And then just they killed it on stage, dancing nonstop, and it's amazing.
So is the picture that we have for you for the show, is that from Ren Faire, or is that just another...
That's from the start of the year.
Okay. it's from another scholastic...
Extracurricular.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that's
activity.
I think that's from freshman year initiation, when you lose your identity and become one of the... one of the collective... And that's like some paint flaked off that should be a hammer and sickle, because we're all Marxist communists there. Yeah. Typical.
That sounds just about right for Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. But Paradise Lost.
Paradise Lost. And
speaking of which, one of the cafes on campus, there are two, and the original is Paradox, and then the Paradox Lost. So witty.
Wow.
Ooh. Love that shit.
And speaking of the being lost, we're almost at the end of our time together.
Yeah.
So you are, I know that you had played this band for me.
Yeah.
Which I think is quite good.
Oh, they're awesome.
And I'd never heard of them because... This band is from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Indeed.
Tell us your final choice.
Well, you may have never heard of them because they're a mythical beast.
Okay.
David's Pegasus. And I used to see these people every so often in Fayetteville. I saw a lot of great music, especially house shows. That's like my favorite venue to see music because it's so intimate. And... Fayetteville had this really neat youth social atmosphere, because I had friends in all sorts of circles and groups and whatnot, and somehow it felt like we had a definite impact on the town. And you would see these, like, you know, there's 6 degrees of separation there, of course fewer, but you start to see like the degrees of closeness. And anyway, some older folks I were definitely not my peers. They ran with these guys, and this band was sort of they were definitely a staple in town. Never saw them as many times as I'd love to, but on stage they had the coolest aesthetic, and throughout their album artistry or you know, all of that artwork and the press. So they essentially mock Atari games.
Interesting.
I don't know if their label is Atari, but that's like one part of the...
I want to play on words tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they have these... I remember on stage they would have a few TV sets up sometimes, and there would be a running graphic, like maybe different mock video games going on, and it would be like maybe a Pegasus or some other creature going through this nihilistic video game.
It's
such a great theme. I love it. And then they'd be donned in full white, like, either like jumpsuits or some regalia, and so it's a very like clean, dreamy pop kind of aesthetic. Mm. And then I remember sometimes like projectors with just a cascading line of rainbows.
Wow, that sounds
it's gorgeous. Like
a great environment to be in.
Oh yeah, especially on a hot, humid summer evening in a botanical garden when you're riding your bike out there with friends and you find David's Pegasus is playing.
How many times have you seen them play?
Maybe only like 3 times.
How many times have you listened to the song we're about to hear?
It's probably one of the top 25 on my most played on iTunes. Actually, it's not, because I've listened to some of these songs like 500 times. But I've definitely listened to this a lot. I've probably listened to this song, I don't know, for hours. Sometimes I play songs on loop.
I do that.
Yeah. It's a good, gets you somewhere.
I think it's important, and it's also you discover new layers of the song and additional meaning. And I play songs until I can't play them. And then I put them away, and then I'll revisit them later.
Yeah, now I wish I had the CD, because my truck that I drive now only has a CD player, and I don't get to listen to this, sadly enough.
Can't you burn a CD?
Well, my computer doesn't have a CD drive anymore, so I need to get my shit together.
Get your shit together.
Yeah. For now.
For now, we'll just listen to it.
That sounds great.
All right. Oh, and before we play the song, thank you, Stuart, for being a guest on the show.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really, really fun.
Cool, my car. And thanks everyone for listening. This is The Charming Mistakes of My Youth, playing every third Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on KCHUNK 1630 a.m. in Los Angeles. And of course, you can listen to us anytime at kchungradio.org worldwide. Look us up in the archive. So stay tuned for next month. Guest is to be determined.
Awesome. I'll be looking forward to listening to that show too.
All right.
And the name of the song is We've Got the Right to Get Down. It's on the album Choose the Game.
Choose the game, guys, and choose with no E.
Yeah, yes. Maybe that's a typo. David's Pegasus, if you're listening, I love you, and I really would love to receive a copy of the song. I found some money in the pocket of my shirt, because I have a live recording of that on a tape somewhere. So good.
All right, you guys heard it. Over and out.